A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 489. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about The Trapdoor. This is Brian from Canada.
This is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, this is an ITV show from 1986, 40 episodes of 5 minutes each, and it is claymation fun for its intended audience of children, with the slightly scary adventures of a strange creature called Burke, who attends to the needs of his unseen master in a dark and dank gothic castle.
Yes, and each episode finds Burke and his friends dealing with strange monsters and creatures that emerge from the trapdoor in the cellar where they live. And Burke, of course, is this very cheerful individual, so that balances things out a bit.
Yes. And the theme tune tells us not to open the trapdoor, and every episode they do, or something does.
Pretty much, yeah. So this show wears its influences pretty openly with Charlie Mills' atmospheric background paintings and paintings of the castle that we see in the opening titles. And I think Willie Rushton's narration introduction, you know, may have a classic horror kind of influence as well, and what have you.
He does sound a little bit like a classic horror actor doing a opening monologue.
Anyone you had in mind there?
Well, I think Boris Karloff again.
Okay.
But I usually go to Boris Karloff when I think of horror narrators.
That's very fair. That's a good place to go by default.
But of course, before this show gets too scary, we do have the comforting presence of some very silly plasticine monsters or creatures messing about in a cellar, producing some disgusting recipes, which of course kids love, the idea of them making these horrible, disgusting sort of monster recipes for the thing upstairs. And of course, the variety of weird creatures or events that seem to come from the titular trapdoor.
Yes, you see things when Burke is cooking that something will squirm by and he'll grab it and stick it into what he's cooking and so on and so forth. The episodes are short and they do tend to be somewhat repetitive, but the show does have some character progression, with Boney occasionally getting a body to move around instead of just being a skull and that sort of thing, but more so with Drut having babies. So in the later episodes, Drut is caring for children and they need to be fed and so on. And that's sort of a theme that's introduced at one point and continues on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Drut. We didn't really know what gender Drut was, but suddenly Drut has babies to look after and feed, and they're all around. And there become more characters to get in the way of Burke and his work.
Absolutely. And we get some recurring characters like Rog, who comes out of the trapdoor and is quite benign and speaks in this deep, very slow voice. And also Bubo and the big red thing. So there's some recurring things there. And then we have this combination of the opening titles and the catchy theme tune, and with these colorful plasticine creatures and Willie Rushton's vocal performance, it made the series very popular with kids. You know, it had a lot of character to it.
It did. This was an incredibly popular and well-remembered show. And I've been listening to some podcasts that talk about the horror genre and talk about children's horror and gateway horror shows for young children. And this one is often mentioned in that context, The Trapdoor. And interestingly, this was 1986. The other show that gets mentioned is a Cosgrove Hall animation show from 1988, Count Duckula, of course. And you can see, Brian, the castle, the thing upstairs, the servant, and then later on we get the cast of Count Dracula in a different show. You can see how these were sort of gothic horror gateways for kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Count Dracula was a spin-off from Danger Mouse, which of course we've covered, and gave us, as you say, a more horror-style thing in animation. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, it is interesting stuff. And of course, Count Dracula could be on our radar. You know, if you'd like to hear us talk about Count Dracula, get in touch and let us know.
That is something we could possibly get to, yes.
Now, we mentioned last time that there are spin-offs from the TV show The Trapdoor. And if there are spin-offs, we try and cover them if we can, Brian. We have got two video games based on The Trapdoor. The first one was called The Trapdoor, and the sequel was called Through the Trapdoor, and they were released on, get this, the ZX Spectrum, the Amstrad CPC, and the much-beloved and remembered Commodore 64. Hands up if you had one of those computer systems, particularly if you were able to play the Trapdoor games.
Yes, this is going right back into 1980s home computing there.
These were obviously on tape, and you had to load them through a tape player. Oh, the technology, Brian.
With audio cassettes, that's right.
Yeah.
That was quite the way of doing it at the time. There was also a board game called Burke's Trapdoor Game, which was a direct tie-in to the show, of course.
And I think my parents had this board game for their grandkids. So for my kids, the Trapdoor video cassette was incredibly popular at my parents' house. And I think they had the game, and I may have played this at some point with my children, Brian.
Oh, that's wonderful. It looks like there were some squishy foam figures of Burke released in the late 1980s as well, although they seem rather rare. eBay has some modern reproductions of those floating around, it seems.
Yeah, they look now as if they're the sort of vinyl, sort of almost like a stress ball of Burke that you can, you know, that sort of thing that you can squeeze. You know, if you have the theme tune and the squishy, you might be very relaxed, I think.
Maybe so. Speaking of the theme tune, the theme song by Bob Heatley and Zygott was released on a vinyl single with an instrumental called Ghost Chasers as the B-side.
Another bit of horror music for kids. And if you do nothing else after listening to our episodes, do go and check out the Trapdoor theme tune on YouTube or wherever. It is very catchy and enjoyable.
Yes, absolutely. So we should get into some of our own thoughts. Eamon, what did you like about the Trapdoor?
Well, I think listeners might be able to tell that I love the Trapdoor. I find it colourful, I find it charming. I am thrilled that we get another chance to talk about the history of Vision On, then Tony Hart, Morph, and of course the stuff that led on to some of the great successes of Aardman and so on. But in there is Claymation in Bristol and The Trapdoor. So I love all that, Brian. What about yourself? What did you like about this show?
I liked the sort of old school, very basic artistry of the Claymation. I thought it looked quite cool in that way that things did with Claymation at that point, and it was sort of a nice, fun set of visuals.
Yes, the Claymation is lovely. It's old school. As you say, you know, Steve Box said you can see the lumps and bumps in the early episodes, which is great, and then it gets better, and the artistry of it is wonderful. And of course, Brian, you know I love a story of a disused factory being used as a sort of animation studio. Of course, probably not all that far away in the UK from the literal cottage that Oliver Postgate and Peter Furman were doing their small films productions in. So yeah, I love all that about this.
Yeah, for sure. I am going to add that the voice work by Willie Rushton, especially for Burke and Boney, was really fun. And I like that with all of this weird, horrific stuff, they gave us a very cheerful character in Burke, but with enough variation and enough quality quality to the acting that he was very listenable. It wasn't cloyingly cheerful. It was cheerful in a nice, fun way. So that was great too.
Yeah, Willie Rushton, what great voices. I love the West Country voice he gives to Burke. I love the sort of Cockney thing upstairs. I love his opening narration. A great comedian and a presence on radio, film and television. It seemed to me for so long, because I always thought he'd lived to a ripe old age. I was very sad to find out that he passed away at the age of 59, Brian. But, you know, at least we have, if nothing else, have got his voices on the trapdoor to listen to and to remember him. A great comic talent.
Oh, absolutely. Interesting.
Can I also mention the theme song again, Brian? Ridiculously catchy. Warning people not to open up the trapdoor. As you will have gathered, this was a show that my parents had on VHS cassette. And so for my kids, a visit to the grandparents' house in the 90s meant they got to watch The Trapdoor on VHS, and we got to hear that theme tune over and over again, and I think possibly play the board game. But yeah, it's a wonderfully catchy song. We've mentioned the artistry of the claymation. We've mentioned it's colourful, it's cheerful. We've mentioned its gothic overtones and Willie Rushton's performance. Lots of things that I found to like about this show, Brian.
Okay, very nice. Do you have anything on the negative side that you want to mention?
So the one that I had, as you know, was that it is a bit repetitive. You know, children's television, particularly for young viewers, I think does depend on a certain amount of repetition and familiarity. You might say that this show does that a bit too much, and that the episodes are short, there's not much time for story, it's all over and done with very quickly, I guess, Brian. I don't know what you felt about those aspects of this show.
Yes, it is definitely repetitive, and I found that with the short duration, they were just a little too simple, you know, and, you know, basic and lacking in story. Even as a children's show, I think that's an issue with this, but especially, you know, watching it on the DVD, they have it in blocks of 5 episodes, watching a run of them at once. I think if I had been watching this when I was much younger, or if I had been watching one episode a week, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. With 5 episode blocks and I had to do those relatively quickly, it was a little much going through all of that at once.
Yeah. And watching them one after the other, as we have done, does get a little bit sort of repetitive and straining. I would be delighted to hear from anybody who has shown it to kids, you know, to their kids more recently than the 1990s, whether or not it still works for young children. We should say, of course, this is a show for young children. So, you know, we're not the target audience anymore, Brian, even though we found stuff, particularly in the history, to enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a charming show, and it's quite fun in its own way. I do sort of wish I had seen it in a different context rather than running through the whole thing as I did.
Right.
Eamon, do you want to try another ranking game?
Oh, okay.
So, thinking of stop motion shows, of something that you would watch for fun or show to a friend or maybe show to children. So the first choice we'll start with is The Trapdoor and Lavender Castle.
Ooh, okay. I think for me, The Trapdoor, that would be my preference. What about you?
I think I'm also going to go with The Trapdoor for that one.
Okay, right. First round of the game. Good.
Second one, sticking with a bit of Gerry Anderson as we did with Lavender Castle, we're adding Dick Spanner.
Oh, okay. Gosh, it's a while since I've seen Dick Spanner. I think at the moment, I'm still going Trapdoor, Dick Spanner, and then Lavender Castle, I think. What about yourself?
Okay, I'm choosing Dick Spanner over The Trapdoor and both of those over Lavender Castle.
Right, okay. Interesting. Getting tougher.
So now for the last one, the obvious one to throw in is Wallace and Gromit.
So Wallace and Gromit, Gromit, I think, trumps everything. Wallace and Gromit is a triumph of British television that works on so many more levels. It's so much more proficient than the other shows we've been talking about. Yeah, Wallace and Gromit has to go to the top for me. And I suspect, Brian, for yourself?
It does as well, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So the only difference we had there was the trapdoor versus Dick Spatter. So interesting.
Yes. Interesting ranking. Okay, great. Another game. Just wanted to add that, you know, as I've said, Wallace and Gromit works for adults, for people of all ages, and remains one of the singular achievements of British television. I, you know, go and watch it. But if you've got kids, you may be able to divert them with the trapdoor as well.
Yes, very nice. Wallace and Gromit, as you say, is something very special and stands in a place of its own.
Indeed.
So are we ready for recommendations?
I think so. Would you like to start us off?
Okay. I will go with a cautious recommendation on this because it is a fun, enjoyable series of shorts that, as you say, is very much for small children, but cautiously because watching a run of five in the row, as the DVDs encourage you to do, is a little much. So I will recommend, if you can, watching an episode or two here and there.
Okay. Well, I think, as listeners know, Brian, I love The Trapdoor, particularly for its part in my family's history, that it was a show my kids watched rather than myself. So I'm going to recommend The Trapdoor. I think it's wonderful. I think it's colourful, cheerful, fun, short. The first season, £5 on streaming, and show it to your kids and see what they think and let us know. So, you know, yeah, it's a definite thumbs up from me and a cautious one from yourself, Brian, I think.
Very good. So, in summary, Trapdoor introduced us to Burke and his friends Boney and Drutt, all of whom live in this strange cellar with strange creatures and a trapdoor that brings even more creatures, all while Burke is trying to please the unseen master upstairs, who we hear through a voice, while most everything else we see with painted backgrounds and some lovely classic claymation.
Great stuff. Do get in touch if you watched it at the time or have watched it more recently.
Absolutely.
And do come back and join us next time. Complete change of gear as we get into some supernatural thrills in time for Halloween as we look at an ITV show called Midwinter of the Spirit from 2015. And it could not be more different, really, from what we've just been talking about.
I think that's right. It's a very adult show.
Yeah, indeed.
Until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group and join in the conversations. You can also follow us on Instagram and Threads. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please give us a follow on the socials and let us know what you think of the show. And please drop by the Voice of Geeks Network, which you can find by pointing your browser at vognetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks, where you'll find gaming content, Twitch streaming, and podcasts galore. Do drop by and let them know that we sent you.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. There's only one way for me, Eamon, in England to sign off, and that's to say, oh, globbits.